Isn't it amazing that when a person comes to know Jesus Christ, you see a big change? Isn't it amazing when a person comes to know Jesus Christ and what a change is made? Oh, there it is. I want to make sure everybody was awake. We'll just start all over every time. But when I think about individuals that's come to know Jesus Christ, you can't help but to see a huge change in one's life. Tony Palma, talk about you for a moment. I remember 10 years ago when I met Tony, here was Tony Palma. I said, Tony, how are you? I'm Jerry Ladd. That was about all you're going to get. And I remember a little bit more, we would see Tony outside, and I said, Tony, how are you? And the more he and I got to know each other, he got to saying, how are you, Jerry? So there was a few more. And then as time went on, and he was getting more and more acclimated with us here at the church, and we're more acclimated with him, he's loosened up quite a bit. I look up today, and here's Tony Paul, who's got Christ in his life, and he is in Christ, and he is learning more and more about Jesus and what he requires. There's a huge difference when I look at Tony individually. 22 weeks today, this fellow has not missed the service of the Lord. This is not about Tony. This is about God. Amen. And I think about some of the things that Tony has given up, some of those picking up your cross daily and following Jesus Christ. Tony, I mean, I'm not your judge, but I'm like totally impressed with you. And not only that, I'm encouraged. So, you know, Tony can do it. I can do it. Amen. But we can do all things through who? Christ, who strengthens us. So when we think about the changes that come about in one's life, I'm sure that every one of you have known people that you're thinking, man, what a change. I remember years ago, he wouldn't do that or she wouldn't do that or, you know, this has happened or that happened. And you see now they're in Christ Jesus and you see there's a smile, there's a peace, a person that seems as if they have hope in their life now because they have Jesus Christ. When we get to know Jesus, when we get to know God, and we get to know God not just through reading, not just through studying, but I'm telling you, when we get to know God on a personal level, does that make any sense? When we get to know God inside and out, when we get to know God and His character and what God means to our salvation and what Jesus means to our salvation, I assure you, brothers and sisters, oh, what a change will come about. Let me show you a thrilling example of what I'm talking about. If you'll head over to the book of Acts, if you'll go there with me, Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at a pretty long reading, but I want you to see this guy who went from killing Christians, a guy who was trying to bound them in, tie them up, drag them off. We're going to see a guy who got letters of approval, if I may, to go out and find people that was of the faith, that was of Christ. And he wanted to bring them in. He wanted them put to death. I'm just going to tell you, here's a guy, Jerry, that absolutely did not like this new concept of Jesus coming here. He did not like the idea at all of somebody professing Christ. Here's a guy that went from, remember, persecuting Christians to preserving Christians. Watch what happens in this passage of Scripture. Acts chapter 9, 1 through 22. All found? The Bible says, in Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest. He asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to where? Jerusalem. The Bible says as he journeyed, he came near Damascus and suddenly a light shone for him from heaven. Then he, talking about Saul, fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he's asking that as a question. The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, talking about Saul at this time, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and you will, watch this, be told what you must do. Verse 7. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground and went, and watch this, and when his eyes were opened, what did he see? But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. He was there 3 days, wasn't he? It's what the Bible says, without sight, neither ate nor drank. So here this boy is in pretty rough shape by now. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one, watch this, called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is now what? The Bible says he's praying. Well, this doesn't sound completely right to them, I'm sure. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard many things about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem," verse 14. "And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name. But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" Watch verse 17. Watch what happens here. "Ananias went his way, entered the house, laying hands on him. He said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with what?' Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once." And I love this. The Bible says he arose, and the Bible says he was what? The Bible says that he was baptized. 19. "So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in those synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, 'Is this not he who destroyed those who called upon his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?' But Saul increased all in the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is who?" That this Jesus is the Christ. Look at the change that came over that fellow. Here's a guy who would absolutely slice and dice. Do you agree with that? Here's a guy who would kill you in a New York second. Here's a fellow who had misguided zeal. He had zeal for God, but didn't have anything for Christ, did he? But when Christ Jesus, when he was able to come in contact, when Christ was able to get into his life, oh, what a change was made. That same thing is applicable to you and me this very day. Does that make sense? When we involve ourselves and engage ourselves in Christ Jesus, we can get to know him, we can grow to love him, and we'll see just how much he loves us. And oh, what a change, brothers and sisters, will come about. What do you think individually it was that changed this individual named Saul? Do you think maybe it was the weather outside? Do you think that maybe he was a little bit worried about the cicadas that's on the way, and then because the cicadas are on the way, he thought, well, now would be a real good time for me to become a Christian? I'm serious. I don't believe that that's the case at all. Do you think it was the humidity? Maybe it was a low humidity. It felt kind of cool. Maybe the humidity was really high, so he thought it was high time to make a change. I'm just not there. Do you think it was the barometric pressure? He's having headaches all of a sudden, and I sense I'm having these headaches. Maybe I ought to become a Christian. I just personally don't think that's what it is. I don't see that in the Bible. Was it Jesus Christ? Was it the Son of God that he came in contact with that brought on that change? Brothers and sisters, if you have washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if you have bathed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if you have confessed Jesus Christ in the presence of a witness or witnesses, if you have been engaged in his work, if you have been engaged in his word, if you are living, breathing, and absorbing things about Jesus Christ, there will be a change in your life. Do you get that? But if you have done these things, but you are still living the life you used to live, there has been a serious problem in your birthing process. You might want to revisit that. Because when we come to know Jesus Christ, a change is inevitable. Amen? When we come to know Jesus and his love, and we're recipients of his great love and his mercy, oh, that change is going to come about. But sadly, there's a lot of people in our world today that says, I don't know how to know Christ. I don't know that we can really get to know Christ. I stand before you today proclaiming God's word, telling you we can know the Lord. Say that with me. We can know the Lord today. And I want to make sure before we leave today that you'll know exactly how to do just that. The Bible, the church, and the work that we all do as Christians are all based on our knowledge and faith in Jesus Christ. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, down in verse 1, we see the very importance of faith. And we're going to drop down and read number 6 as well. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence..." Verse 6, the Bible says, "But without what? faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and what else? He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So let's take a look today, a very quick look, if you don't mind, at some ways that you and I can get to know who this Jesus is. We can get to know just who exactly this Lord is. The first point that I want us to examine this morning as we talk about we can get to know the Lord, I'm convinced that we can know God and His Son through His unfailing love. Is that fair? We can know God through His love for you and for me. We need to listen closely. There is not a mother. There's not a brother. There's not a father. There's not a sister. There's not a child. There's not a grandchild. There's not a cousin. There's not a brother-in-law, nor a sister-in-law, nor any breathing human being that can love you like God loves you. Amen? Nobody but nobody loves us like the Lord. I remember what the Bible says about God and His love for us over in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31, down around verse 3, regarding God's promise to rebuild Israel. Why? Because of God's great love for His children. Jeremiah chapter 31, down in verse 3, the Bible says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have what? I have loved you with a, tell me what kind of love? Everlasting love. This love that's not going to go away. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. I have brought you to me. This doesn't just apply to what was happening then. This applies for you and me today. God calls us today. He draws us to Him through His Son. Amen? He brings us to Him through the very blood of Jesus Christ. I remember 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as His in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all of our sin. Not part of it, not some of it, all of it. Amen? So, but how do we do that? We've got to be drawn to Christ. The Bible tells us very clearly that we can know the Lord today because of His love and how He draws us unto Him. We can also consider how we can be complete in God with the fullness of His love. Ephesians chapter 3, down in verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, look at this, that ye may be filled with all of the fullness of God. I love that, the fullness of God, being complete in the Lord. Nothing greater than that, brothers and sisters. I'm grateful, and I believe that you are. I'm grateful that God and His Son loved you and me. And still loves us enough, in spite of our imperfections. Matter of fact, He loves us so much that you know what He did. How He left heaven and came to this earth to redeem us, to purchase us, to bring us back, to buy us, and so that we can have that beautiful opportunity at salvation. Boys and girls, let me tell you something. That's some very serious love. If you agree, say amen. Let's go over to the book of 1 John. Let me show you something. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to look at 7 through 19. You will be engaged in this. Please, when I stop and call on you and say, what is the next part? Say, please participate, and I can get you out early today. If not, I had an extra bowl of Lucky Charms today because they are indeed magically delicious. So I will continue on. Look at Heather. Heather says she can't have Lucky Charms because the kids eat all the marshmallows out, and then they leave the cereal out. She thought it was cat food, and that's why the cat had to go to the vet. So anyway, here we go. I just wanted to share that with you. So watch your Lucky Charms because they are magically delicious. 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 19, all found. Beloved, let us what? One another, for the love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love, watch this, does not know God. Why? There you go. Number 9, in this the love of God was manifested. That means made known to us, toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That passage of Scripture alone shows me and you how much God loves us. Amen? And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word means substitute. Beloved, if God so loved us, then what should we do? Love one another. Go to 12. Let's take a look. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in you and me. By this, we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. Verse 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and verse 16, and we have, watch this, I love this, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us, because the Bible says God is love. Very good, Abby. And watch this, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Verse 17, love, the Bible says, has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, it casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first, finish it. Thank you, Teresa, because he first loves us. If you're over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that whole chapter is talking about love. The whole chapter is speaking of that. I invite you to read that a little bit later today. So do you want to get to know this awesome Jesus? Absolutely. I appreciate all four of you wanting to get to know him. Do you want to get to know our God, that great creator of all? Yes, we do. Then we do that by studying his word and seeing just how much he loves his creation. And it's unfailing, isn't it? God loves you and me today in spite of our imperfections. We're not perfect. That's why God sent Jesus for us. We sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen of the glory of. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, God above, for loving us that much. That here we are full of sin, full of iniquity, deserving hell. But what did God do? He intervened, didn't he? He walked right in, and he sent Jesus from the comfort and the beauty and splendor of heaven to save sinners like me, giving you and me opportunity at salvation. Oh, yes, you can get to know God through his unfailing love. The second point I want to examine is this. We can also know Jesus through our love for him. Does that make sense? We can love Jesus through our love for him. I love my child. I love my family. I love them. And you know what? And the more I get to know them, even though Jerry is 43 years old today, not today is not your birthday, but 43 years old, I love him every single day. You should love your family more every day. Is that right? I see some back there not even moving. One's in a coma, huh? Nope, don't love him, don't love her. We should absolutely love our loved ones, amen? Not only loving our loved ones, who else are we commanded to love, Amy? Enemies, is that right? We are to love our enemies. Brad, how tough do you think that is? Very tough, there you go. It's easy, Teresa, very easy for me to love those who love me. If I think that you like me or love me, I'm going to like you or love you. But if I think we're opposed to each other and, man, it's just not a good grain, I'll love your soul, but I ain't going to like anything else about you. That's not the right attitude, is it? But it is the reality. We are to love one another, but the more we get to know each other, the more you'll grow into love each other. I think about Jesus and how we should know him. We should know the Father. We should understand the very character of God. We should know and understand from where our love for God comes from. My love for God comes from his love for me. I can't help but to think about Romans chapter 5, verse 8. You know, John 3:16, those two that's in every lesson that I promised you would happen, and as many as I could. The Bible tells me and you in Romans 5:8, but God, what did he do? Give me the next word. He demonstrated it. What does that mean? He put it into action, yeah? He put his love into action. He demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, that means while we were headed for hell, what happened? Christ died for you and for me. And then John 3:16 and 17, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have what? What's the promise? Thank you, brother. Have everlasting life. John 3:17, for God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, we together, brothers and sisters, might be saved. Thank you, Darlene, that we might be saved. When we think about the love that God has for us and the love that we have for him, I can't help but to think about that passage of scripture that I refer to all the time. It's found over in John 14:15. The Bible says in John 14:15, if you love me, do what? So you remember a while ago when I opened the lesson, I talked about a change. You remember that? I said when we come to know Christ Jesus, we get engaged with Jesus, we're baptized with the forgiveness of our sins. Oh, what a change is going to come about. When we fall in love with the Lord, we fall in love with the Godhead, oh, what a change is going to come about. You don't have to hold a sign up and say, I am now a Christian. You don't have to wear a hat that says, now I'm a Christian. You don't have to have a patch on your shirt that says, now I'm a Christian. People will see that you're a Christian. Amen? When you become a child of God, it will be noticed. You don't have to say anything. People will see it by your actions and your reactions. Does that make any sense? All right, we got a couple back here looking at songbooks. I guess you don't like the lesson. All right, so then we have, when we go a little bit further and we're seeing God's love through us and our love for Him, watch what the Bible says in Mark 12, 30 and 31. Mark 12, let's go 30 and 31. Is that all right with everybody? Watch this. And you shall love the who? Your God. There it is. With all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Watch this. And with all of your what? Uh-huh. Love that. This is the first commandment. Now watch this next one. Mm-hmm. And the second like this. Watch this. You shall love your neighbor as there is no other commandment greater than these. Did y'all catch that? No other commandment greater than these. So how can we get to know Jesus? Can we get to know it through our love for Him? Yes, because if we love Him, we're going to get to know Him even more and more and more. Does that make sense? All right. Then 1 John 1:7, again, if we walk in the light as His in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. Once again, I'm convinced that we can get to know Jesus by and through our love for Him. The third and final point this morning, this lesson will be going to your house. I believe, and I'm convinced according to the Bible, that we can know Jesus by knowing His great works. Does that make sense? By knowing just what Jesus has done for you and for me, I'm convinced that we can certainly know more about this great Jesus. Head over to the book of John, if you don't mind. Let's look at John chapter what? Anybody know? 20. And then will you go with me to verses 30 and 31? All right. The Bible says, and watch this, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in the book. But these are written that ye may believe that Jesus Christ, watch this, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have what? Life in His name. What a beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. Folks, we know that Jesus did many wonders. We know that He did many signs so that people could and would get to know Him a little bit more. Getting to know just who this man from Galilee really is. We know that Christ Jesus, He healed the blind, didn't He? He caused the blind to be able to see. So please understand that He can heal your spiritual blindness this very day, can't He? You agree with that? Jesus healed the deaf. And He can open up our spiritual ears as well, can't He? Jesus healed the speechless, and He can also heal your spiritual tongue. He healed many diseases, and He can heal us, brothers and sisters, from that disease of sin. Jesus even raised the dead, and He can raise you and me to walk with Him in the newness of life, according to Romans chapter 6, 1 through 4. The list is absolutely endless of what our Christ Jesus can do. The list is endless regarding the great and wonderful works that Christ was and is still involved in today. Jesus set the tone for us to follow and to follow His steps and to follow Him into that beautiful place called heaven. It's Jesus' desire that we come to Him with a repentant heart and that we begin to live for Jesus Christ, putting Him absolutely before anyone, before mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, brother, sister, cousin, niece, nephew, before anyone or anything, our Jesus is to be first. Amen? Matthew 6, 33, y'all want to say it with me? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His, and all of these things shall... Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Revelation 2, 10, latter part. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. That's the promise that Jesus has given each and every one of us. This morning, as we consider knowing Jesus or getting to know Jesus, I hope and pray that you have a desire this very day to get to know Him. It's my prayer and it's God's desire that you are not in a solid relationship with the world, but a solid relationship with our Father today. Why not today make this day the day that you become even closer to Jesus Christ? Get to know our Father and begin to receive those spiritual blessings. Enjoy those spiritual liberties that we enjoy in the Father. In knowing Christ Jesus and obeying Him, it will help keep us from falling away. Far too many people today that think because they were baptized or think because they made a confession are guaranteed heaven. That's a further thing from it, isn't it? The Bible tells us to remain faithful. Paul told the Corinthians, therefore let him who thinks he stands take what? Heed lest he fall. So when someone tells you today, oh, once saved, always saved, well then Paul owes the Corinthian people a big apology for lying, doesn't he? That means that God's word, there was something wrong with that. And let me tell you something. There ain't nothing wrong with my God's word. It is perfect. It is there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God, the ministers, you and I may be equipped thoroughly for every good work. Matter of fact, you remember what Paul told Timothy? He said, don't worry about your popularity. I'm paraphrasing. Don't worry about your popularity. Don't let them talk about you because you're a young boy. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. He told him to do what he's supposed to do. It's your job to be a preacher. Convince them, show them, tell them, love them, get them through this. Isn't that about right? Then he tells them why, Darlene. He said, because there's going to come a time where these people are going to heap up themselves teachers because they have what? Thank you, says they've got itching ears. They got a problem, don't they? Just like so many people in our world today. They want a preacher who's going to just preach things that relaxes them. They want a preacher who's going to preach things that's never convicting to one's heart. If we don't preach the Bible A to Z, then you're not a preacher. Amen? If you try to hold on to things because it may hurt this one's feelings or your own feelings, you're not a preacher of the gospel. Go find something else to do. We are to preach the oracles of Almighty God. And as students of God, we are to receive with meekness the implanted word. Amen? All right. So make sure that we do all that we can to learn more and more about Jesus Christ. The knowledge of Jesus Christ is going to help us to do many things in life. It'll help us to overcome temptation. Later today, you can read Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and you can see how Jesus himself was tempted. But he, and as a matter of fact, it's in front of the bulletin too. Larry put that in there about the temptation of Jesus. And so with the devil, led him up on an exceedingly high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and says, you know, if you'll fall down and worship me, all this I'll give you. You remember what Jesus says? It is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Get to know Jesus today. Get to know the Father today. Get to know the very one who stretched out his arms upon that cruel cross at Calvary. Once again, what Brother Larry was talking about, stretching out those arms. He said, Father, forgive them. And then you remember the other part. Father, why hast thou? God gave his all. Jesus gave his all. Get to know you and me. Will you give your all to the Lord today? Will you come to know Jesus today? Will you put him first and foremost in your life? Today, if you're not a Christian, I'm encouraging you through the scriptures to become one. You do it by hearing his word and believing, by making a change in your life. That's called repentance. I'm going to start today to live a little closer to Jesus today than I did yesterday. And I know I'm going to fall short. I know I'm going to miss the mark from time to time, but I'm still going to strive. I'm not going to let anybody discourage me. I'm going to continue to live for Jesus. Even if I blow this day all to pieces, tomorrow I'll start fresh. We've got to march in the Lord's army. Amen. Be baptized upon our confession of faith. Live a faithful life unto death. That means living for Jesus Christ. He's got to be first and foremost. If Jesus is not first, if you were baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you find you're not putting Jesus first, brother and sister, you were never baptized. You were wet. Does that make sense? All you did was went down and felt how cold the water is here at JA. Did not do anything for you at all. Maybe got you a couple hugs. Maybe got you a little bit of, hey, good job, we're proud of you. But in the eyes of God, you did nothing. Got to be faithful. Amen? That goes for me. Goes for you. God set the tone. Jesus said it all the way through. Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death, and then I'll give you the crown of life. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Don't you do it because somebody else did it. Don't do it for any other motive. You do it because of your love for God, and you know that without being baptized, you're not going to heaven. You got to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Live a faithful life unto death, and always remember, brothers and sisters, we are indeed. Maybe today you're a Christian. You were baptized for the forgiveness of sin. You've been through those steps. But you know that things just haven't been working out. Things that we say, the things that we do, the things that we've been engaging ourselves in, that's not of the Lord, it's been of ourselves. Don't let that bring you down. Don't give in to Satan. Don't give in to these temptations. Don't worry about satisfying self-desire. Let's satisfy God's desire. Amen? Far too often, we want the light shining on us. Look how good I look. Look how I stand. Look how macho I am. Look at this. Look at that. You know what? You need to be looking at God. Amen? Don't put attention on you. Put your attention on Almighty God. Don't you draw attention. Let's make sure that we live our life to represent Almighty Father. Amen? So today, if you find yourself in violation, you find yourself struggling, let the congregation know, let the Lord know. We'll pray with you for you. This is a no, these front rows are a no judgment zone. I can't control that back there, but I can tell you up here, it's a no judgment zone. Amen. You can come here, get the forgiveness of your sins. You can be restored. You can walk in the newness of life. Somebody say something to you. I promise you, you and me, we'll go vandalize their house. We'll do all kinds of stuff. That part is a promise. Right, Tony? Tony, like, yeah, I'll help him. All right, so... So if you have a need, any need at all, you're welcome to come right now as together we stand and we sing.